Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Want to begin there today before we begin teaching, share this foundation scripture. And again, we're teaching on the past, really all this month, on the topic, Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now that latter part of verse 7 is our theme for today. Again, the series title is Thanksgiving is a Lifestyle. And the topic today is abounding with thanksgiving. Say, Lord, thank you. I can abound with thanksgiving. Now, giving thanks is not some kind of a pep rally. You know, in high school, we had these pep rallies for Friday football. We come in the gym, and everybody said, rah, rah, rah. And if, you know, no matter if your team was good or bad, the pep rally would just make you feel better about your bad team, if it was bad. But now, Thanksgiving is not a pep rally. We don't do it to make ourselves just feel better. Something is actually happening when we thank God. Something is changing. God is doing something on the inside of us and around us. Thanksgiving is not just happy time. Thanksgiving is a grace from God that connects us with what God is doing. So Thanksgiving is, we say again, a lifestyle. It's something we do every day. Now, thank God for the third Thursday. Now, is it still third Thursday for Thanksgiving? Is always fourth Thursday? Okay, so it's kind of late this month. But the fourth Thursday of the month in our country is Thanksgiving holiday. Well, thank God for that. But I've been thanking God all year long. I've been thanking God since January 1, February, March, April. I've been thanking God every month and all this month. Because I realize, we know this, Thanksgiving is a great holiday, but we don't wait for a holiday to give God thanks. And because that's true, we say it's a lifestyle. Now, the thing is, if we do not give God thanks on a regular basis and do so in a strong way, what happens is then we become overwhelmed by problems and difficulties and bad reports, and things kind of seep in, things you have to hear, have to deal with. But those things, we lose perspective how to handle difficulty. We don't handle it as good without a spirit of thanks. And there is no way, listen, there is no way to successfully handle challenges and problems without a balance of rejoicing and giving thanks to God. We read to you last time from Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, said this, remind us of the importance of thanking God. It says in Romans 1:21, it says, "For although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Wow. So this is the problem that happens. If you know God but don't thank him, then it really hurts us. We aren't able to ward off and push back darkness and futility and confusion. That's why it's so key that we would have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And we do have that. Amen. We have that. Matter of fact, I read today, there's no slide for this though, but I read this morning Isaiah 55 and verse 12. It says, "And you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains will and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Now, nature knows it. The fields and the trees know it. Don't we know it? He's worthy of praise. Amen. But the text here said, again in Colossians, says now, he says, As you therefore receive Christ the Lord Jesus, Christ is Lord, so walk in him. As you receive him, walk that way. Then he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Then he says, as you have been taught, we've learned these things, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, say rooted and built up. Now, next slide here shows a tree, not just any tree. This is called a giant sequoia tree. And there are redwood trees. They're big. I've seen them. But these are even bigger than redwood trees. I've seen both. And sequoias are the biggest, oldest living thing in the earth. Now, that tree right there is over 2,000 years old. The bark is 3 feet thick. That whole forest can be set on fire and that tree won't burn. It'll singe the bark about 2 inches deep, but that tree, you can't burn it up. It's beyond, fungus won't get it, fire won't get it. It's too rooted, it's too grounded, it's too built up by now, right? It's been clapping its hands for 2,000 years. Praising God for the victory. Oldest things on earth. In fact, those trees only exist in North America, in California near Nevada. And I've seen that tree right there. I've stood right there. And it's the most amazing thing. Look up, like 300 feet tall, 275, just like 35 feet wide. What is this, you know? I show that to remind you that when the Bible says that we are to be rooted and built up in him, God's not talking about you barely getting along and struggling a little twig. And God wants you to realize he is big. He's big in you. And you can stand. Say, I can stand.
I can stand.
Now, we say those things because we have already understood. We don't just say it. He says, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. We walk in him to become this way. We walk in him to become rooted and grounded. We've all experienced occasions in our early Christian lives. We've seen people around us who are not rooted, who are not built up, and they suffer a lot of consequences as a result. Even we who have been saved a long time, if we don't continue in thanksgiving, we lose perspective. We think that we're smarter than what we are. We don't see ourselves in the right light. When darkness and futility and all that gets in our minds, we don't see ourselves the way God says we should see ourselves. Amen? So this is a very encouraging text that Paul is giving to the Colossian church and to us. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Good news, isn't it? Now, this sequoia tree, I found a few facts about this tree. They are rare trees. They only grow, I said, in North America, in the Sierra Nevada mountains out west. They only grow at elevations of 7,000 feet high. They don't grow in the desert. They grow way up high. They're among the oldest trees. They can live up to 3,000 years. My, my, my. I mentioned that they have thick bark, 3 feet thick bark. I mean, they are just obviously amazing trees. And they're rare. And also I found this out, that they produce pine cones. They're a pine-type tree. But they only produce cones about every 20 years. They don't put seed out every year, every 20 years. I mean, if you're going to live 3,000 years, you know, that's enough. That's plenty. But I read this and it says forest fires are required to open the cones. That's what it said. Forest fires are needed to open the cones so the seed can come out. The thing can begin to grow. That's weird to me. But really, it's not, isn't it? You know, God uses fire all kind of ways. No, there's fires of judgment, there's consuming fire, but fire also is a refining power. So when you're going through the trial and the fire and testing, maybe God's opening something up in you. Amen. Amen. Well, he's burning something up. He's burning something up, but opening up something else. That's just a thought I had right there based on a parable of that tree. So giant sequoia trees are a parable of God's grace and God's majesty in our lives. And I want you to see yourself in God, rooted and built up like a giant sequoia tree. Amen? And so these things are encouraging. Now, so Thanksgiving keeps your heart clear of darkness. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of living. And so giving thanks to God keeps your hearts clear and your minds positive. Say that. Say, Lord, thank you. Giving thanks to you keeps my heart clear and my mind positive. Now, we know it's true because think for a moment of times where you've been very low and pressed, maybe depressed. And if you think about it and reflect on it, during that season, you weren't giving God thanks the way you probably should have. Sometimes, you know, we're almost too busy to give God thanks. We're too occupied with our situations and our challenges, trying to work these issues. And we're so occupied with that until we're not even giving God thanks. Not really, you know, getting into Thanksgiving and being lost in worship. And that's one characteristic of a trial. The trial is not a trial just of your circumstances. It's a trial against your mind. It's a trial against your praise. It's a trial against your thanksgiving level. Amen? And you've also found out that when you have cast that care on the Lord and gone back to that space where you begin to thank God, I mean, not just thank him like, thank you, but thank him in for real words and from your heart with tears. I mean, when you go to thanking God that level, then the light began to shine again. Amen. The problem was still there. It's as big as it was before you began thanking, but now it don't seem unmanageable anymore. It doesn't seem overwhelming anymore. It's still there. But now you come at it with faith. You come at it with a sense that, God, you're bigger than this thing. You are bigger than this situation right here. The temptation is to see situations as bigger. Like Israel went to the promised land, the spies went, remember that? The spies went over, and those spies, they saw the giants, the walled cities, and concluded that stuff is bigger than God. Right? 10 of the 12 spies decided all that over there, it's bigger than God. They said, oh man, they are stronger than we. Caleb and Joshua said, stop all that crazy talk. Let us go up at once and take it. Because our God is still bigger. Amen. Sometimes things that you've only seen or only imagined, never seen, you can manage it. Then you see it like, oh my goodness, that is big. That's why you want to build your faith up before you see stuff. Amen. And don't walk by sight, walk by faith. Let me share a word with you. This word is mystery. Say mystery. Mystery. Now, this part of the message may seem kind of deep. It's not deep. Please don't miss this. Now, going back to our text, Colossians 2. Let's go up a little higher. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read verse 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this is very important. This is the verses before our text for today. he was encouraging people through letters and by the Spirit of God. And he encouraged them about that. He said, I want you all to attain to the riches of the full assurance of understanding. I want you to understand what God is doing. He says, I want you to come to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. What does that mean? Why did Paul write that? What is this knowledge of the mystery? Then he says, in whom, in God, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, what is a mystery? And why would God hide anything? Let me explain this very important principle, because there is something you must see here. What is a mystery? And why would treasures of wisdom and knowledge be hidden? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Say mystery. First of all, a mystery is not like a genre, like, you know, mystery novels, whodunit, you know what I'm saying, who shot J.R., you know what I'm saying. Not a mystery like nobody can know, we'll find out at the end of the story. So that's why sometimes we hear words from the Bible and we equate them to our culture and to prior knowledge. Please dismiss all that. A Bible mystery is nothing like that. A Bible mystery, in fact, is not God. Well, it's God revealing truth to people who have ears to hear. Look for that slide. Bible mystery isn't something hidden for us. It is something, perfectly plain to the person who has ears to hear. But it is completely hidden to the person who doesn't care and will not focus. Now, why did God do that? Why would God do that? Why would God want people who care, who have ears to hear to know, and people who don't care won't know? Why would God do that? Well, you do it. Amen? You do it on your job, with your children. I mean, you don't share things with people who aren't ready to hear it. You don't share information with people who aren't ready for it, because first of all, they can't do anything with it. Amen? You don't hand the keys of your car to your 12-year-old. Here, go buy some milk. Never drove the car before. So the mystery is there are things that people need to know and will know if they are ready to know it. That's all it is. And, you know, when Jesus spoke parables, those are mysteries. He spoke those words for people who had ears to hear. He would speak the parable. He would finish the parable, like the parable of the seedless sower who sows the seed. Parable of the sower. He sows the seed into these kinds of grounds, and he gave that, and he stopped talking. People walked away. But some came closer and said, Lord, what did you mean by that? And then he had a second sermon for those who had ears to hear. See, people who have ears to hear always hear more. Amen. God's not trying, he's not trying to make people hear. You have to decide, Lord, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I want to hear. I'm going to focus on what you're saying, because then you'll get the most out of it. How many of you would send, who would spend $15,000 a year to send a child, young person, to a public college who doesn't want to go, who don't care about education, learning? I mean, that's a public school. Now, private schools cost $30,000 to $40,000, you know, $50,000 or higher. You don't commit your money to, I love my baby, but I'm not going to send you to school and spend all this money if you don't care. You haven't shown interest. You let me. You pulling C's and D's in high school now, and high school is easy. You're pulling C's and D's in high school, and high school is easy. But then there's the child who has shown interest. and aptitude and willingness. I don't care. Listen, I'm not saying they're the smartest kid. No, they're willing. Willing will get you a long way. Willing, you'll run past smart people if you're willing. All the time. Because smart folk think smart will get them over. Smart will get you started. It takes work and focus to carry you. My point is, so there's mystery in life. There's mystery in life. And so people who understand mystery are willing to dig and go deeper and look for the things that are there for them to learn. They reach for those things that God has put before them. God is just not making people serve. I wish God would make him serve, but he doesn't do that. Because you've tried to make people serve God. Amen. You prop them up on every leaning side, which God's not doing, by the way. Prop you up. No, you better stand up. Bible says stand, you know. Prop you up. Because I prop, then you got to lean. I got to, watch this now. Imagine this. If I got to prop you up, I run over there, I pick you up, and I prop you up. You start leaning. Here I come again. Prop you up on this side. You're not even trying to stand. You lean that side. I got to prop you up on this side. I'm always running around trying to prop you up because you do not want to stand. Now, I know what we mean by God propping us up. He loves and he helps. He does help us. But he draws nigh to those who do what? That's not law. That's grace. Faith without works is dead. So God has to involve us in our own deliverance. He has to engage us in our own growth, or we won't appreciate it. So you know what happens? If you prop somebody up, you don't stay there, keep propping them up, they just fall over. They just fall over, keep falling over. They keep on falling because they've decided, hey, he'll prop me up. You know, so it's, you can't educate that way. A teacher doesn't give answers to the question. My point is, this mystery of God is simply that he wants you to be willing to open your heart to what he wants to show you. And when God sees that, he brings it all. He brings everything you need. He brings every insight. He brings understanding. He makes the scriptures make sense to you. He'll help you make sense of your circumstances. I mean, it's amazing all that God does when you demonstrate that, Lord, thank you. I'm willing to grow and I'm willing to learn. All right. Now look at this. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Now Paul says something else here. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4 now. He says, verse 4, now I say this. Again, he said earlier, we already read from verse Colossians 2 and 2 and 3, where he said that he wants us to attain to the riches of his full assurance, having knowledge of the mystery of God. All right, then he says verse 4 now. Now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That now he says, again, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Now watch this. See, Paul is in his letters giving the people tremendous insight and wisdom. Because you notice here that when Paul, we talked about the importance of being rooted and grounded. But then he said, I say it because don't let anyone deceive you with persuasive words. Now, listen, y'all, in this society, you hear a lot of stuff. People saying things, I mean, you know, religious stuff, political stuff. People got their points of view and their insights, which is, that's their right. But you don't want to be deceived by persuasive words, and you will not be deceived if you are rooted and grounded in Christ. Only people who are not rooted and built up are susceptible to hearing other things. Now, he said this. He says, look at verse 8. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, people of God, hear me, please. We are living in a day when my sense is a lot of believers are not really reading the Word of God. They're not strong in the Word. They're not rooted in Jesus. I mean, they go to church, they say amen, you know, I'll flip to a scripture on Sunday when the pastor says go there. But a lot of folk are not in the Word throughout the week. Amen. Not in prayer. Right. Now, you know, God helps us and God is merciful. But at some point, if we're not rooted in the Word, we become susceptible to what Paul said, to people's persuasive words, through being cheated, through philosophies, through vain deceit, by the tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world. You know, our basic principle says that we all evolved from monkeys and stuff like that. I mean, now it's accepted. It's amazing. That's accepted now in the science community that we're the products of evolution. We evolved at this point. We went from being whatever we were to being what we are today. Now, we never did believe that as Christians, but without Christ, you would believe that. See, a lot of things get sold to people. They believe things, like, for example, there's the races of humans. There's a difference in that this race is better than that race. Listen, y'all, there's only one human race, only one race, the human race. Amen. Race itself is a made-up concept. All right. There's ethnicities. African, Asian, I have ethnicity, and I identify with that, but race, that racist white man, that racist black man, if he get hurt enough and needs some blood, the blood of the black man can save the white racist and vice versa. There is some blood in a black body that'll save a white man and vice versa. So race is a made-up concept. It really is, y'all. It really is. So, again, basic principles of the world. We're one in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. That don't stop folks from being racist now, but I'm saying these are things that when we're not rooted and built up in Him, all this stuff comes out. Amen. And folk believe all types of things. But if we follow what Paul said here, in verse 6, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. Now, in this text, Paul also revealed the secret, the keys to victory. He said, now, he rejoiced to see their good order, say good order, and their steadfastness of faith. Yeah. Now, don't gloss over that. Now, Paul hadn't even been there to see the people. He hadn't seen them. He hadn't seen them face to face. But he knew by reports and by the Spirit that they were healthy because of two things he said here, good order. Now, good order, it kind of speaks for itself. When your life is in order, that is, your life is in order as it relates to spiritual authority, being under, you know, pastoral care, being accountable, being steadfast in faith. I mean, these are simple ingredients to a victorious life. Simple things. And these simple things, when they're absent in people, I mean, even believers, when they're absent, you see erratic behavior, you see instability in people, because these are things. These are virtues that only come to us who decide to recognize the mystery of the faith, pursue truth, enjoy your life, have fun, but never lose sight of who Jesus is in your life. Now, verse 9, Colossians 2, verse 9 says this, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, that's your response to somebody who call you out and say something like, you know, I sense you need to have this. No, I don't need that. I don't need anything that you're offering me. You don't need anything anybody offers you spiritually. You do not need anything anybody offers you spiritually. You do not need anything anybody offers you. Why? You already have it in Christ. Say, I am complete in Christ. Now, what we offer you is understanding and insight into what you have and who you are. But the problem today is part of the persuasive words and the philosophies and deceit is folk make you think you really need what I got. And that's big time lies today. And it's no, I don't need what you got. I have Jesus. I need you to help me connect with him, understand what he's promised, understand what the Bible says. Because see, Paul wasn't even with the guy with the church in Colossae. He wasn't there and said, y'all in good order. Y'all are steadfast in the faith. He had never seen them. Because they received the word through Paul's letters. They had copies of some scripture. Those folk, the Colossians, were in the word. They were submitted to one another and under pastoral authority. I mean, those folk were in order. Those folk had steadfast faith. Didn't need Paul to go over there. Didn't need anything Paul had. Because they had it in Christ. Now, I'm not saying we don't need ministers, and obviously we do. From the standpoint of, like I said, to help us understand. He says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. My goodness. Please get a hold of that statement right there. It'd be one thing if Christ didn't give me everything I needed. I mean, one thing, he gave me some and I got to have some over here. No, he says I'm complete in him. Now, complete means like complete as in DNA. Every person born has all the DNA they'll ever need. Amen. Right? Amen. That baby has all the DNA he or she ever needs. But he or she has to grow and develop. Amen. Amen? Amen? Come into fullness of what they have. So, yes, in Christ, a lot remains for us to recognize, but you have all the essentials. So then, this whole text to me is a great encouragement how that we can abound with thanksgiving based on what God has already done for us. Because listen, if God hasn't already done it, I don't know what you're going to do. What you're praying about right now? If God hasn't already done it, I don't know what you're going to do about that. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. I mean, if you need money, God needs some money. Is God going to counterfeit money and give you some? Is God going to steal some money and give it to you? What's God going to do? He'll make what's already there available to you. If you're sick and you don't feel well, man, healing is already in the covenant. I don't feel good right now, but my healing is already available to me. I already have it. Lord, help me receive it. Amen. Help me manifest it. So this idea that we need more or something else, somebody called it the empty vessel syndrome. That idea that I got to go over here because they're going to give me what I'm missing. What they'll do is they'll put a hook in you. You become dependent. You'll become codependent. See, Jesus is who God said he is. And you are complete in him. Say, I'm complete in him. Last two thoughts here I'm going to give you is this. William Barclay said this. He says, the distinguishing mark of the true church is an abounding and overflowing gratitude. Thanksgiving is the constant and characteristic note of the Christian life. Now, I'm giving thanks not because I'm just hoping one day I'll see a blessing, I'll see God, I'll see good things happen. No, I thank him for what he's already done. I get to thank God for what he's already done. And thanksgiving keeps my heart and my mind open to embrace what he's done. It's less of, listen, it's less God having to create something for us and more of us having to just discover it. And that's no small task sometimes. Discovering things you need is no small task. It's already there, but discovering, that's sometimes the work we put in. Now, he says, this guy named J.B. Lightfoot wrote this. He says, "Thanksgiving is the end of all human conduct, whether observed in words or works." Amen. So I'm going to close right there, but remind us that all these thoughts today, the idea of the mystery of God, what God has made available to us but hidden to people who don't care, just decide, say, "Lord, I care. I want to know, Lord. I got ears to hear. Whenever, Lord God, you send me a word, if I get an email with a message from you, I'm going to read that email." I mean, just be a person whose heart is always open to God. And everything that's a mystery and unknown to others will be known to you. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of so much today. Thank you, Father God, of